Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. I hope you are as excited as I am about the return of the Lord to end the wickedness and vileness that has permeated this earth caused by corrupt, godless men and women like the current administration and the sickly, woke Democratic regime here in America, and all the atheistic, globalist regimes that have taken the helm of many nations and are steering the course of this world into a violent conflict with God Almighty. The Christian's hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish His earthly kingdom, while our unyielding faith is in the work of Jesus on the cross and His bodily resurrection from the grave when He first came to the earth to bring salvation to whomsoever believes. So, a quick overview of the Olivet Discourse. It is a sermon that Jesus preached to His disciples upon the Mount of Olives at the end of His earthly ministry. This discourse was preached to put all of Jesus' disciples for the last 2,000 years during the dispensation of grace on notice that He is coming back and that they need to be ready and faithful upon His return. he admonishes that believers need to be prepared and alert for his return through fervent prayer and obedience. He cautions that some believers will be careless in their walk with him. There are 7 parables in this discourse by Jesus, which I identify and explain. Different aspects of this discourse address specific events, targeting 3 specific groups. Hence, I subtitled this sermon, The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. But only believers can discern these events and parables and witness to the world the second advent of Christ. The unconverted Jews and the unregenerate Gentiles have no clue what will soon befall them.
Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Okay? Again, children of light. So what does buy oil? What does the Lord say, or the church say, buy oil? What does that mean? We see that in verse 9. "But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Buy oil is metaphorically speaking of our need to ask. A-S-K. A-S-K, the acronym A-S-K, the oil is metaphorically speaking of our need to ask God for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The oil. And I've dealt on this when I've talked about the Holy Spirit. You could just spend the whole time just dealing with this passage. But the oil diminishes and increases in this believer. We're to pray for it, to be filled, to be constantly filled. That's what the disciples did in the book of Acts. Look in Luke here. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." What does that spell? Ask, seek, knock. The first letters of each of those words. Ask. 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 Verse 10. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?" Caden, does your father give you a stone every time you ask for food? When you want McDonald's, does he give you a rock? Say, go chew on that rock out in the woods? In the yard? No, he doesn't do that. He gets you food. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" Okay? How many want to chew on a serpent? "Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" How many times, Alexandra, did I bring scorpions home for dinner? Wasn't that a great meal? Put a little sauce on that, a little hot sauce. Boy, that'll fire up your mouth. Eat a scorpion. Not from the hot sauce. "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" That's interesting, the way that all closes out there in that paragraph. That last little phrase, "your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him." So we're to ask for this constant filling, buying the oil to keep that lamp brilliant. And keep it on fire, okay? Now we just have to flip a switch to get light outside when it's nighttime or in the house at nighttime, right? But Len, you remember the days when you had to keep a lamp full of oil to keep light in the house? Do you remember those days? No? No. But there were days that people, in the day that people had to keep oil in a lamp. And they had to go around a street. If you had street lamps that had oil in them, they had men who worked in the night and kept those lamps, those tanks filled with oil to keep that lamp lit. And so that is something that we have to do, constantly ask the Lord for the filling of the Holy Spirit, because it can be quenched, it can be grieved, and we need to do it. The disciples, you see it in the book of Acts. In chapter 2 was the day of Pentecost. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They witnessed, they preached, they were persecuted. And then in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, what were those disciples doing again? Praying. And the house shook again, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Got to keep that lamp lit and on fire. So the oil cannot be swapped as the foolish virgins wished. They were still prepared for the... They were ill-prepared for the Lord's return by not keeping their own lamps filled with oil. Their light went out. So they're believers, but their light went out. They allowed that light to dim to the point of going out. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. So if Paul is emphasizing this point, then it's something that can be measured and depleted in our lives. Okay? It's just like the gas needle on your car, your automobile. All right? As you drive around town, what do you watch? That gas needle going down, down, down. You go to the gas station, you fill it up, and it's up. It goes all the way to full. Now, your wallet's empty of money in this day and age, but you put gasoline in that car, right? Well, you got to apply the same principle to the Holy Spirit. So page 21 in your notes, Jesus said to the church of the Laodiceans, "I counsel thee to buy of me." This is a spiritual application, and it deals with prayer. Gold tried in fire that thou mayest be rich. That gold speaks of persecution, to speak of struggles, to speak of fire for purifying it. Purifies, suffering purifies the church. Suffering makes the church stronger, not weaker. Stronger, more powerful, because their only recourse is prayer. Your only recourse in suffering is prayer. Number 2, buy white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes. Okay? So, the nakedness speaks of spiritual nakedness, and it speaks of unrighteousness. So white raiment speaks of righteousness. We'll see that a little bit later, what that white raiment is. It speaks of, that's why a bride wears white, because it speaks of purity, of being chaste, a virgin. Number 3, buying eye salve, that thou mayest see. Speaking of, ask God for a spiritual illumination of His Word. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the words and what You have for us, have for me and for us, the church, and for us as a family in the Word of God that I need to digest today. Does that make sense? So in the following passage, so the Laodicean church is a perfect example of a church that's just gone to sleep. The light has gone out. Lord said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. In the following passage, Jesus is teaching that what is possible with man is not impossible with God, as long as his disciples go to the store of heaven and buy. John chapter 6, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence? Where shall we buy bread? That's whence means where. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus said that. Philip said that. Okay. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip. No, he said it unto Philip. He's testing Philip. He's proving Philip. He said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. What did he do? He multiplied the five loaves of bread and the three fishes, or three fishes and the five loaves of bread. For some reason, I can't get that straight in my mind, but he fed thousands. It wasn't just 1,000 people. There were women and children included. So thousands. The parable of the 10 virgins reaffirms the parable of chapter 24 about being ready and watching. We saw in Matthew 24, 42 and 44, and this phrase is constantly repeated. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Does the Lord make his point? Am I making the Lord's point in you? It's seriousness to be ready for his return. The door being shut in the verse that we had here, verse 10, and it said, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That speaks of Noah going into the ark. And when the animals were ready and Noah and his family were ready, they went into the ark and God shut the door. That's what this is speaking about. Parallels with that parable that we spoke of about Noah, the days of Noah. So shall the coming of man be, will be like the days of Noah. When the bridegroom says, I know you not. Oh my goodness, are you ready? Take hold. Grab onto your seats. We're going for another ride. Like I said, there are zillion metaphors in here. This does not imply that the foolish virgins are not saved. What it does mean is that they do not know Jesus in an intimate way through prayer that the Apostle Paul instructs disciples to do. Paul wrote this, and somebody quoted me this just the other day. I heard someone quote this. But yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him. Now, I have mine in red. You need to highlight it. Put a circle around it. That I may know him. Now, you say, well, I come to church every Sunday. I got saved a long time ago. I know him. Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. But Paul wrote this years later, said that I may know him. This is a different type of knowing. The power of his resurrection, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This intimacy speaks of attaining the first resurrection by watching for his appearing and being ready for it. This knowing here, where Jesus said, "I know you not," in the parable to those foolish virgins, "I know you not," not that I don't know you in the sense I know that you are saved, it's I don't know you because you have no intimacy in prayer with me. You don't talk to me in prayer. That's why they don't have any oil. And that's what Paul is saying, to have an intimacy with the Lord in prayer. When the Bible in the Old Testament, you see this over and over again, Adam knew Eve, or Jacob knew Rachel. It speaks of an intimacy. It speaks that they had an intimacy coming together as husband and wife and bringing forth a child into the world. This speaks of an intimacy with God, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. This expression, "I know him not," so can be seen in two other important passages dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. Page 22, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." Strive there means work your way into the gate. Make effort to enter it. "For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door," there's that word again, "shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are or where ye are. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." This is a different, this is not that they're not saved. This has everything to do with that intimacy of knowing him, of watching, being ready, being in prayer, and being prepared. Finally, the marriage spoken of in this parable is the future marriage supper of the Lamb, which is the kingdom age. The marriage supper is not in the clouds, as some will teach, but after the Lord returns to the earth. At the end of the tribulation, just before Jesus comes back, there's this announcement that's made to all the saints in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ, who are standing before his throne in chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Amen. The marriage supper of the Lamb. That is what we want to be called. Blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is your goal as a believer. That is my goal as a believer. That is my goal, to teach it to you as a pastor, that you get called to the marriage and you have the marriage wedding garment on and being ready to stand and see this great event take place and unfold. More that I want to add, but we'll end it there. We'll get into the... next week we'll get into the parable of the talents and look at the faithful servants and the unfaithful, the wicked servant. This speaks of the judgment seat of Christ. a detailed account of what's going to take place when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, another very powerful event that takes place. So these parables are packed with fruit and meat in the Word of God to unpack and decipher and dissect it so we understand it to its ultimate point of value to our lives. And so I just want to make sure that you don't go home and go to sleep. Okay, now it's all right for you to go home and take a nap. And I know Brother Andy's going to do that. I may do that. But no, sleep spiritually. I want to awaken you spiritually. Get you on fire for the return of Christ. Because we are living in some interesting days. Some interesting days. And I can't wait. I'm waiting with anticipation for the Lord to take over this world. Because it has gotten so twisted, so perverted, so wicked. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We love you, Lord. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for opening our eyes to truth and to the Word of God. Help us to delve into the Word of God. Give us eye salve, Lord. We pray and buy it from you. Open up our eyes to truth, to the Word of God. Help us to understand it, to interpret it, to apply it to our own lives. Lord, we pray for raiment, white raiment. Lord, that speaks to righteousness, our righteousness in our walk with Christ, in the walk of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we walk in this earth as children of light.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.